Well, thank you. That was a really warm welcome, Ronnie, and a great way to start this off. So as Ronnie said, I'm going to talk about kind of two main things today. The main thing I'm going to talk about is the expiration dates report and the findings from that, which I think are really, you know, salient and important. And then the second thing I'm going to talk a little bit about is another area where we think law and policy is really leading to excess waste and a place where we can use the legal and policy system to try to reduce waste. I have no relationships to disclose. I thought I could briefly tell you what our food law and policy clinic is. I don't know, are there any attorneys here? One up front. I knew that. Planted. I think a lot of people who aren't attorneys or who didn't go to law school are kind of confused by this terminology of a clinic in a law school setting. So I just wanted to explain what we do. We are basically an action learning opportunity for law students, and the idea is for them to get out of the classroom during their time in law school, get hands-on experience, get to work on projects, so that when they graduate, they have some skill set, which is sort of revolutionary that, you know, in the past, law students would sit in a room all day, and then they were supposed to be lawyers. So our work, clinics can focus on many different things. Ours focuses on policy and specifically on food policy, and we work on four main areas, one of which obviously today I'm going to be telling you about, which is food waste. But we do a lot of other work as well. Most of our work is actually client-oriented, and the client will be a nonprofit organization or a food policy council or a government agency, people who are saying, we want to change our food system and we don't know how. We don't understand which law, what's going on with preemption, who's able to do this. And that's really where we come in and we try to figure out what are all the options you have, what's legal, what's not, and really empower individuals and communities to work on those policy changes. I'm actually going to go through these quickly because Ronnie covered a lot of this, but you heard how much waste there is sort of internationally and then in the U.S. I think a key element is just thinking about the fact that we talk so much about the lack of access and how many people are food insecure, and redirecting all of the waste that we have in this country. If we redirected 30% of that waste, we could feed every food insecure American every single meal that they needed. So they would, you know, they would need nothing else. So it's just something to really ponder, that we're throwing so much away when we have so much need, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of speaking between the two systems until recently. Ronnie covered all of this, so I will skip it, but the sort of impacts of the waste and also the growth, and this is, I don't actually know that these are the best data, but we actually don't have great food waste data in the U.S. I mean, I think it's another important thing to raise, just as we're thinking about this as an ongoing issue, that we're not really tracking this that well. We're very behind other countries in how we're looking at how much we're actually wasting, and I think it makes it difficult to then see what things are having an impact on changing that waste. So in order to get involved in this, we were looking at this issue, and it turns out every group that had been talking about waste, the UN, the Natural Resources Defense Council, the government of the United Kingdom, all these people were saying, one really tangled issue is these expiration dates. Someone should really figure out what those mean or what's going on there. So that's what we undertook in this study, was to look at what do they mean, what's going on with them, why should we care, and what we found is actually really interesting. I'm going to go through our findings and then talk about why I think it's important. The first main finding was that these are undefined and not required or regulated in any way under federal law, with the tiny exception of infant formula, which the theory was that over time, if infant formula was sitting on the shelf for a while, it would lose its nutrients. And for a baby who is eating only infant formula, it's very important that they get the amount of nutrients that you think you're giving them. But for every other food, the dates you see on those foods every time you go to the store, those are really unregulated in law and definitely in federal law. Congress attempted in the 70s, when these dates started to be proliferating on all these food products, to regulate, and they were unable to. They had all these bills, and they talked about it, and they sort of said, you know, we don't really know what these dates mean, and in fact, as you see in the next bullet, the FDA and the USDA have the power to regulate these, under their power to regulate any labels that are false or misleading in any way, and I would argue that expiration dates are false and misleading, but they've actually said these have nothing to do with safety. This isn't really our arena. Why should we get involved? People are just, you know, making decisions based on them, but it's not a safety matter, so it's not something that we're concerned about. So then you get into what states require, which is absolute madness. It's a little hard to see, but there's little shapes on all those states. So the states that have orange actually require dates on certain foods. The little shapes on them tell you what foods they require them on, and you can probably see the two more common ones would be milk and seafood, but some states then require dates on, as one example, New Hampshire requires dates on cream but not milk. And, you know, things like that that are just, there's really absolute madness. And then 20 of those states then restrict the sale of food after those dates in some way. So they say, you know, the food needs to have a date on it. Once that date happens, you can't just sell them as normal food. You need to segregate them. You need to put a giant sign that says expired foods. You know, they make it really difficult to donate those foods. And in fact, in some states like Massachusetts where I live, the food bank actually doesn't handle expired food at all because they're so strict about that, and it's just not something that it's not in their power to kind of separate all those expired foods, and so they just don't do it. So again, these dates are undefined in law. Even in the states that are saying we are requiring you to put a date on your food, there's no requirement of how that date is set. There's no testing needed. It's not related to safety. So manufacturers are putting them on as their sort of suggestion of peak quality. And we've actually talked to a lot of manufacturers in states that require dates who say, I needed to put a date on and I didn't have the money to do any testing whatsoever. I literally just put date labels on these foods. And that's what you're seeing when you go to the store. And even in the states that don't require dates, New York is a really great example. I like to give that because people think, you know, there's a lot of people in New York and they wouldn't be making a choice that was really bad for public health. They actually don't require date labels on any foods. New York City used to require date labels on milk, but they eliminated that requirement in 2010 because they said, this isn't safety related, the state doesn't require it, we don't need it. But if you went into any grocery store in New York, and I've tried this, every food still has dates on it because there's no restriction on those. So they still have the same proliferation of best by, sell by, use by, et cetera. These dates are leading to a lot of waste. I'm not going to go into so much detail, but, you know, we don't have great data. I'm giving you a 2001 data point, which is super old and probably not that representative of just what was thrown away before even getting to consumers. And then in terms of at the consumer level, we don't know how much of American household waste is because of expiration dates. So I'm giving you a UK data point that in the UK where they've done a lot of good tracking and they've been really forward thinking on this, 20% of waste at the household level was because a date passed. People didn't know what it meant and they just were throwing it away. There's sort of two components to this that I think also loop into public health. One is this mistaken belief that past date food is always unsafe. And if you look at these little numbers, which you can't see, but if you add them up together, what you find is that 90% of consumers say that at least on certain foods or in some cases they throw the food away because the date has passed and they're afraid of safety concerns. So that's a lot of people throwing away a lot of food, and this food that has expiration dates on it, it takes a long journey. I mean, this is a huge environmental impact. These are the foods that they're harvested, then they're processed, and they're packaged, and they're sent here and there. I mean, the most energy has gone into producing these foods to just then be thrown away, you know, and I think, many people here probably have this experience. Someone in your family is like the refrigerator clearer that comes through like once a week and just like tosses everything and, you know, that, so for no reason at all. There's, you know, as you can see, not a single outbreak of foodborne illness has been linked with anyone consuming food after a date. There's also the mistaken belief that pre-date food is always safe to consume, which is less of a food waste issue, but a food safety issue. So you know, people leave the food out, they leave the chicken in a hot car, and then they say, well, the date didn't pass, so it must still be safe until that date, as if this date is this all-protective halo on your food. It's not. So I think we're actually not educating people about what actually matters. And relatedly, I think there is this sort of small class of foods, ready-to-eat foods that have a listeria risk. So that would mean they'd have to be previously contaminated with listeria, but listeria can grow in the refrigerator. And these are the foods that sort of, you know, they're like the warning foods for pregnant women. It's like deli meats and unpasteurized cheeses, those kinds of things. But we put the same labels on them that we put on everything else. We're not actually giving consumers really important health information to say, this small class of foods, this date actually matters. I mean, it just seems really silly. So this leads to our recommendations, and these are things we've been working on the past year. We've actually had some legislators interested. We've been working with Congress. They're excited. Some industries actually interested, too, because they realize, I think, that this is such a big problem. So much food is being thrown away. So the main, if we sort of boil down to one phrase, is we want to have one quality phrase. There shouldn't be the sell by, best by, use by. It should be one phrase. I'm putting freshest before, actually based on work that Ronnie did in these sort of small focus groups, but just because we wanted to get some sense of what consumers actually would look at and say, I know this isn't related to safety, but and I understand that this means I don't have to sort of throw this food away, you know, as soon as this date passes. I think separately for those small class of foods that have listeria risk, putting a separate date on them, maybe expires on, which also seemed to work for people. They understood that. And again, these are just placeholders for now based on a very tiny bit of information. But just, we need to figure out what's going to communicate to consumers so that they don't waste things that don't need to be wasted and that they know about those small class of foods that do. I think education and awareness is incredibly important. I think a lot of the work has to be done there, just starting to tell people this. But we can have a better policy. We can have a better system for the future so that we don't have to all be screaming up here about telling people not to, you know, not to throw these things away. And I'm going to skip the last, but I'm happy to talk more about it. So I wanted to just quickly talk about some future research we've been doing related to that. And this is the same hierarchy that Ronnie showed. So I think the expiration date stuff to me is really on that top source production, so we're not throwing away quite as much food before it even gets to people's places. But then feeding hungry people is really important, and this is where we've chosen to focus our work because of the connection with food access and other work that we're doing. So what you'll see is only 10% of food is recovered in the U.S. This is pretty low. Of all the food that we're throwing away at restaurants and institutions and in the home and, you know, in grocery stores, only 10% of that actually then makes it to another person, which is quite low. There are a lot of barriers, and the way that we've been getting involved in this, the legal hook to it is on two sides. One is one of the biggest concerns for companies is this liability concern. So they say, you know, we're doing lots of great work. We're working really hard to make money. We don't want to put that in jeopardy in any way. And even though there are actually protections in law, they are very afraid and they just don't want to take any risks. So that's one element. On the other side of that is it's actually costly to get food from point A to point B. It doesn't just arrive there. In particular, let's say with farmers, they grow a field of something and they realize, you know, I don't actually have a buyer for this field of whatever food. Or the price really dropped dramatically on this food because there was a glut of, let's say, tomatoes in the market. So it's actually cost more for them to harvest that than it would than they would actually make on the market. And they, you know, they don't have incentives to do that. So I can, again, talk more about this in questions. I want to leave time for discussion. But we've been working really closely on at the federal and state level on what are the tax incentives. So this is what are the barriers, who gets these incentives. This is one challenge on the donors, who is allowed to get them. There are limits on that as the way the law stands right now. And then there's limits on who are the kind of distribution agency that restrict that to a really kind of food bank model. But there are a lot of people who want to come in and do that in a way that's sort of a social enterprise that can be more sustainable, and those people are limited. And then states have some tax incentives, but only a few, although Maryland is working on one now and maybe other states. And then the flip side that I just mentioned, again, this is on the liability protection side. I think one of the big things here is really education. I mean, telling businesses, not only are you protected, but we as consumers aren't going to keep using your services if you just keep not taking, you know, you don't want to take any risks, so you're just throwing away tons and tons of food every week. This, you know, again, leads to what we're working on, and I'm happy to talk more about any of those things if people have questions about that. All right, turn it over.